and the council of the elders met to see how they might rid themselves of Jesus. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was one of the 12.
Pray that you may not enter into temptation. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Let me grab a call or two here quickly. 888-914-9149. Hi, Anonymous. Good afternoon.
My husband just passed away of an aneurysm in November. Wow. And I called to say that I have a problem with my daughter, an addiction. So I'm home with her tonight. But anyway, I'm trying to forgive my father who molested two of my children and many siblings and their kids. So my kids are adults, and I go to church, did the Stations of the Cross, I say the rosary. Yeah. So I have to sell my house, I'm struggling for money, I don't know. I'm trying, and I just...
Yeah. I know.
I don't know.
Well, first of all, let me just express to you my deepest condolences. I cannot imagine what you're going through. I just can't. I mean, it's hard. I shared the story. I don't know if you heard it. You know, my son was walking down from his apartment in the city he lives in, and they beat him, and he ended up in the emergency room, and I did a CAT scan of his jaw, broken a couple of different places. And he says, "Dad, I did nothing. I didn't hit on anybody. I didn't argue with anybody. I didn't get in a fight with anybody. I was just walking down the street." And he felt a victim in that particular situation. And as a father, and as I know how you feel, man, my first response, I wanted to curse the person. I wanted an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I wanted them to feel the pain that my son felt. But you know what I did? And because forgiveness really is an act of the will, just as love so often can be. I mean, my wife and I, we stopped and I said, as much as I have animus in my heart towards this individual, I am going to pray for him. And I prayed for the person who hurt my son. And now that doesn't compare to what your children have gone through. I mean, it certainly doesn't. But it is a decision to let go of the resentment. It's not that you're going to forget. You know, that act of hurt, that person who wounded you, it doesn't mean you're going to forget, and doesn't mean that they should be held accountable for their actions. But when you forgive, it lessens the grip that they have on you, you know, and on the aspects of your life, and it can actually lead to real healing. All you can do right now, Sue, is continue to pray and work through it, day by day. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people right now who are listening, and I want to do something for you right now. I want to pray for you, okay? I want to pray that your heart, that God will give you the grace you need to be like Christ was as he hung on the cross and cried out to his own Father to forgive those who did this to him. But I'm going to ask everyone who's listening right now, will you join me in a prayer for Sue and all mothers and fathers and those who've suffered these deep, deep wounds? And Lord, I pray for Sue right now. I pray for her daughters who were abused. I pray for their abuser. And I know it's hard to do. So hard to forgive, Lord, those who hurt us. And I pray for all those right now who have suffered deep wounds and they cannot forgive the person that raped them, molested them, cheated on them, injured them, taken away their freedom. I just ask now, Lord, for your mercy. And we turn to you, O Mother of Mercy, as we pray. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer us. And if you would please remember Sue in your prayers and her family, I know she'd be deeply grateful. And Sue, this Holy Week you'll be in mine, okay?
Thank you, and God bless all of you.
God bless you, Sue. Man, my heart breaks for her, huh? It's hard. How do you forgive somebody who can do that? I pray to God I'm never put to that test. My Italian blood boils. You know, I want an eye for an eye. I want a tooth for a tooth. I want vengeance. But that's not what Christ told us, right? Christ told us we should not hold a grudge. It's easy to hold a grudge. And you might be angry now. You might be sad. You might be confused. You might be dwelling on those hurtful events of situations. There might be resentment. You may long for vengeance and hostility. And believe me, those negative thoughts, those negative attitudes, they can take root. You know, they can crowd out the positive. And you might find yourself now swallowed up by your own bitterness, by your own sense of injustice. And that's a problem. So if you are unforgiving, you might actually pay a price repeatedly by bringing anger and bitterness into every other relationship you now experience. And maybe you're seeing that. Maybe you were wounded before. Now you see this. You don't understand why your rage wells up, why you are in the type of fights that you're now in, or the anger is manifesting in your new relationship. Perhaps sometimes we become so wrapped up in the wrong that we can't enjoy the present. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're anxious. Maybe you feel that your life lacks meaning or purpose, that you're at odds with your spiritual belief, that you might lose valuable and enriching connectedness with others. So how do you forgive? A couple things you can do, and let's talk about that. But first, let me take our next calls. Next call, Anonymous is listening to us. Hi, Anonymous. Good afternoon.
I know that everything you're saying, I hear everything, and every day I say, you know, that I forgive this person who was mean to my granddaughter, who terrorized my granddaughter, and she was only 3 years old, and she would hit her and scare her and throw it out of the house in the back, and she was afraid of this woman, and, you know, I just don't see how a dad could not see things like this happening to his own daughter, because I guess maybe he was blinded by the love of this woman.
Right.
But you could see the fear on the child. She would even hung around my neck and with her little hands for me not to leave her there at their house. And I had to leave her, you know. And I know that everything that my baby told me is true. We even went to court and nobody believed the child. I mean, it's because they said that she would make up stories. She did not. How can she make up stories? She would tell me in detail what this woman did to her. And I would tell my son, and he wouldn't believe me. He turned against us, and we get to see her like one time every 2 months. And so, you know, it's just hard for me to forgive this woman. I want to, and I've been getting close to the Lord. I try to go to church every day, and so I can have peace and learn. I need to learn how to forgive. It's just hard to let go. When they hurt a child, you know, that hurts. Why? I don't understand how I can forgive this woman. It's just hard.
I know I have to do it.
I know it's like poison inside me, because I can feel it boiling when I think about her. But it hurts me that my baby girl is growing up in a place like that.
Well, let's do this. Change her personality.
This
is a great cross for you to carry. I mean, it really is a very, very difficult cross for you to carry. And I know you don't feel like it. I was betrayed one time in a business deal by somebody who I had placed incredible trust on. They totally misrepresented themselves to me and to others. I was working on this particular film. They turned everybody against me. I did not want to forgive that person at all. Oh my gosh, did I not want to forgive that person. And for a couple of years, I held on to that unforgiveness till one day where I simply said, Lord, I do not feel in my heart this desire to forgive, and I don't even really want to, but I know you call me to do that. And I forgave the person. I took that act of the will and I said, but Lord, since you call me to do this, I forgive. And I mentioned the person's name. Please be merciful to them. And I just kept praying that prayer over and over again. And I'll tell you what, something happened. There was a grace that was given to me. And soon the connection I had to the person, the anger, the betrayal, the woundedness, it began to heal. And I no longer feel that way towards that person at all. In fact, I wish them well, and I want what's best for them. And I know this is difficult for you because you can't get your head around it, but you have to got to remember one thing. Just as I told my son the same thing after he suffered this tragedy, God will bring good out of the situation somehow. We can't see it from where we stand right now. We don't have that 30,000-foot vantage point. We're right up against the trees right now. It is hard to see the big picture. But I guarantee you, as you begin to pray that, you put your trust in the Lord, you will see and you will experience the healing of our Lord. You're going to encounter that in a way that is so profound. You just have got to take it day by day, and that's how it works. You know, you got to take it day by day. You know, the Padre Pio once said, it's true that God's power triumphs over everything, but it's humble and suffering prayer that prevails over God himself. And make your suffering that prayer to God and ask him for the healing for, you know, for the young child as well as for yourself. And I guarantee you, your suffering and your sacrifice will be used in a powerful way by our Lord. We'll go to our next call. You hang in there now. Mary is listening in Chicago. Mary, good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been dealing with a lot of this trying to forgive. I think in my head, a very long 21-year marriage, it ended in infidelity, and there were a lot of repercussions from that financially. And so, you know, I spent many years, and I've been through the last 10, we've been separated for 10 years now, learning at levels of forgiveness. I like what you said, it's day by day. And sometimes I say it's a daily reprieve. Sometimes you just get one reprieve for that day, and then you have to ask for that. But lately, I've been praying a lot because I felt that I needed to do that. I needed to understand it on a deeper level. And what I felt God kind of revealed to me was there's a spiritual, like, kind of principle here, and that is, if I stay angry or if I stay in unforgiveness, in a way I'm kind of partnering with darkness. And so I'm creating what I'm trying to dispel. I'm participating in a continuation of that darkness. And I didn't see it that way. I didn't understand that. So I think for me it was very helpful because at one time I felt so powerless over it, over the fact that it was wrong and I was wronged. But this kind of new way of looking at it gave me a sense of God's power. And it was like, no, you're a light. Be a light and give that light. By forgiveness is a light. And if I shine that light on the darkness, then I'm allowing God's power to change what once was causing, pain and suffering.
You hit on two great points here. One, day by day. And sometimes we have to keep going back to the Lord and ask for that grace to continue to forgive or to forget or to move on with that. I think it's a great point there. But, it is the benefit of forgiveness, what you're talking about. You know, day by day, calling upon the Lord for that grace and then going back to him to do that. I think that is... You said, you're kind of connected to the person that you're not forgiving. That is so true. That's a great point that people have got to realize. When we do not forgive the person who wounded us or who we are somehow attached to, we're surrounded by that particular darkness, we're tethered to them. We're bound to them, Mary. And I thought your point was great there, because if you want true freedom and true healing, you know, I have a friend who's going through a really horrible divorce. I mean, he married a beautiful woman and put her through med school. And, you know, all of a sudden now their marriage is, she's leaving him and he's just devastated over this whole thing. So often people go through these divorces. He cannot let go. He cannot forgive her because it's the last thing that connects him to her. His unforgiveness is that last tether. And I told him, I said, you got to cut that. You got to let it go. You got to forgive her, because that is where you're going to find true freedom. So often we might intellectually say, oh, I'm going to do this, and that's fine. But you really got to take that act. You got to do it with your heart. You have to do it with your mind. And bring it to the Lord daily, as Mary pointed out, which is a great point. Her other great point was, you got to let it go. Because that's good. You're going to be tethered to that person by your unforgiveness. I only got a couple of minutes here. I'll go back to the phones. But Jake, you had asked just a couple of days ago, a couple weeks ago.
But I just wanted to thank you, because I feel like even though I'm not totally there, I'm getting better at forgiving this person. And I've felt like God's doing something. So I want to thank you, and please continue to pray for me.
I'm sure everybody is grateful. I know that you had a lot of prayer that day. You know, and really, and on this point here, before I go back to the phones, forgiveness really is a commitment to a process of change. Consider the value of forgiving and its importance in your life at that time. It's a blessing to you as much as it's a blessing to the other person. You know, you can reflect on the facts of the situation, you know, there's no doubt about that. But when you're ready and you actively choose to forgive the person who offended you, do it and then move away. You move away from that role as victim and just release the control and the power that that offending person has over you or over that situation in your life. Let go of the grudges. Don't let these things define you. Don't let them, you know, hold you into that bondage. And I guarantee you're going to find deeper compassion and understanding for others, and you're going to be Christ-like. If you are just joining me, we are, of course, talking about forgiveness. You know, I don't think Judas could forgive himself for betraying Christ. That's why he hung himself. And maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been injured. Maybe you have been deeply wounded by somebody. Do you know that the ability to forgive others is actually a gift from God? In fact, Scripture tells us that if we don't forgive others, we can't be forgiven, right? We pray that in the Our Father. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. If we don't forgive, then we're blocking the ability for God to work in our lives. So when you choose to forgive, you're choosing God's way, and you're opening the door for him to heal your hurts and to restore your soul. And it doesn't mean that what the person did to you is right, or that you even have to get back into that relationship with that person. Forgiveness simply releases the debt that they owe you, so that God can release the debt that you owe him. I mean, ask the Lord to search your heart, show you where there is unforgiveness, maybe blocking the blessings in your life. Today, let's forgive those who've hurt us, okay? And let's also accept God's great mercy. Maybe you've had an abortion or you've done something you can't forgive yourself for. God's love is immeasurable. His mercy is beyond human comprehension, beyond angelic comprehension. It's one of his greatest attributes. Accept him. Let me take your calls. 888-914-9149. Wanda is listening in Chicago. Wanda, thank you for your patience. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I've been on your show many times, and I just want to say that you're going to hear some of my story. I was beaten up by my father, my mother, my brother. The last time my father beat me up, I was 24. At 24, my mother had me sterilized. Not allowed to make noise. I was not allowed to play with dolls. I had a very unusual background, and I tried to fit in as normal, and I ended up forgiving everybody because 20 years ago decided I wanted to save souls, and I turned my suffering and offered it up to God. I say the St. Gertrude prayer to release 1,000 souls from purgatory every time it's said, and I say the St. Bridget prayer, two Our Fathers, two Hail Marys, and two Glory Bees. Wonderful. That was promised to St. Bridget to bring up to the fourth generation every single relative. That's hundreds in my family. And we all are going to go to heaven and enjoy the beatific vision, and God wants all souls to him.
And, he does. Wanda, let me ask you a question. And I'm very familiar with the devotion of St. Gertrude. It's a beautiful one. I know it gives a lot of people hope. Can I ask you a personal question, though? I mean, I understand your father would beat you. You were molested. What brought about your ability to forgive somebody who violated you and injured you in such unimaginable ways?
Oh, honey, it's such a wonderful thing to be free of the resentment. I had to relive every single violation in my memory and finally allow that memory to leave me and let go of it. Now, when you did the prayer to help Sue, I had the memories flooded back to me, and it was crystal clear that I was violated, but I lived in a state of non-belief that it could really be true, and it is true, and I accept that now, and I love God, and I know that all my suffering is to unite myself with Christ, and, you know, to become the better person that he wants me to be.
That's such a great point, Wanda. And thank you for calling and sharing that. You know, we've all had these great wounds and injuries, and we all suffer. But they can become meritorious. They can become incredibly efficacious, powerful, if we unite them to the Lord on the cross. Thank you for your witness, Wanda. You are a good soul. Please pray for me and for my family and for all who are listening, okay? I know that you are a special soul. And again, I'm sorry for what you went through, but thank you for your witness to freedom and release. I mean, forgiveness really is a decision. She made a decision to let go of the resentment, the thought of anger. Maybe you have thoughts of revenge. You want to get somebody back who hurt you in your business dealings or some legal case, or maybe it was your spouse. You know, forgiveness lessens the grip on you. You know, when you have unforgiveness, you're in that stranglehold, right? When you forgive, it sets you free, you know? And forgiveness can lead actually to feelings of understanding and even empathy and compassion for the one who hurt you. You know, we're called to love those who persecute us, to pray for them. And clearly Wanda has done that. I call you to do the same thing. Have you been able to forgive the people who abused you as a child, and man who trafficked you, and all these Johns who abused you as well?
Yes, and definitely it was a process. I was so angry in the beginning, even after I, you know, accepted Christ. I went through a point where I didn't want to forgive, and you know, but God led me to His Word, and He led me to Scripture and passages where it said that in order for me to be free, I needed to forgive, and I needed to try to find that within me. And so I can remember praying and telling Him, God, I want to forgive, but I don't feel it, you know, and just being real with Him and honest with Him, and little by little, my heart just began to change. I think just because I had the willingness, you know, God just says, come to me, all you who are weary, just come, like however you are. And I came to Him like a mess. Like I came to Him just with all my brokenness. And so I want to always say that nobody's too far gone for Him.
This is the Drew Mariani Show. Keep it here on Relevant Radio.
And forgiveness, there's benefits to it. And the psychology behind this is huge, the physiology. People who forgive not only find themselves in healthier relationships, but you have less anxiety and stress. You have lower blood pressure, fewer symptoms of depression, lower risk of alcohol and substance abuse. People who don't often have quite the opposite symptoms. Julie in Wisconsin, thank you for joining us. Good afternoon.
Between the years of fourth and sixth grade, I was bullied mercilessly. I didn't want to get out of bed. I had fear that has not left. I mean, I didn't know what to do with it, Drew. I mean, I did not have the self-esteem to come home and tell my parents what was happening when it first happened. I actually started believing what the bully said about me, because I felt like I was born wrong, because I was born with a birth defect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was born into a family that didn't have anything like I had, and I knew I was loved. And so for me to go to a loving environment, to a non-loving environment, I didn't know why my peers would treat me that way. Yep. And going back to the anger, I didn't know what to do with it, and I still have not known what to do with the anger, except I've lashed out at people that don't deserve it. So it's just like it's affected other relationships that I would have otherwise healthfully had. And I see myself in Judas in that I'm having a hard time forgiving myself. I mean, I just turned 51 years old last week, and it's just like I have not yet been healed. I know Dr. Fitzgibbons was on your show a few months ago, and I called in, and, you know, his website's really helped, but it's just like it's still there, and it's just like I can't change other people, but I really need to heal. I really need to forgive the bullying that has continued to this day, because I still can't get rid of the feeling I've been born wrong.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, you know you haven't. You know you were created in the image of likeness of God, and that you were created for a mission in life, and you are deeply loved. So don't let those thoughts haunt you. It's hard. You know what? Here's the thing. I think we're the hardest on ourselves. Sometimes it's easier maybe to forgive somebody else who's injured us than even ourselves. I know so many people who have made the mistake of abortions, of having that abortion, and they've gone to confession, they received God's mercy, but they just can't forgive themselves, even though they've received absolution. That's the most difficult thing to do. And Julie, know that you've got to do that. If you want to move on with life, God loves you. There are new beginnings for you. And you've got to do that. And I don't know whether you've forgiven those who've injured you in your past and over the course of time. I know that's hard to do, and I know you probably don't feel like it. As I said a little bit earlier, forgiveness is kind of like love. It's an act of the will. It's not a feeling. You know, it's when I was
maybe
faced with...
Maybe I get that confused.
Say that again,
Julie? Maybe I get that confused. I feel like I have to feel forgiveness.
Yeah, no, I don't think you do. I used to feel the same way. Somebody really burned me in business one time, and I could not forgive. I was so angry, so betrayed. I was so misrepresentative, you know. And here's the thing, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I cannot forgive. I don't want to forgive this person. You know, a lot of people who get injured in their relationships, marriages, bad divorces, whatever, the last tether that they have with that person is that unforgiveness, you know? And if they let that go, then what do you have? You have nothing at all in those bitter divorces. And it doesn't make sense, but that's really the case. In my own situation, I finally said, Lord, you know, because I didn't want to forgive this. I didn't want to pray for them. I didn't want their best. But I said, Lord, I know you called me to do this. You hung on a cross for Judas. You hung on the cross for those who betrayed you, those who nailed you to that cross. So I forgive this person. And it was an act of will. And I didn't feel it right away. But there was a release, and with prayer for that person and that total commitment to doing what the Lord called me to do, you know, there was no flood of, hey, wow, I feel great. I just suddenly said these magic words. No, that's not how it happened. Today, I'm totally liberated from it. You will be too. Forgive those who've injured you. Say, Lord, I don't feel it. I'm deeply wounded still. Heal my wounds. But I forgive these individuals. I forgive those. And you might know who they are. Name them by name. It's an act of the will. Do it with love. And know that God's grace will do the rest for you. Okay, Julie, you're going to get through it. You're going to be a witness
Thank
to
you.
Others because, you know, you're not alone. A lot of people have been bullied. A lot of people have been injured. You are going to help others. In fact, your testimony today, I think, is helping a lot of souls. So thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
You got it. All right, that's Julie. She's listening in Wisconsin. Terry is listening in Livermore, California. Terry, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing, Drew?
Hi, Terry. I'm okay. Thanks. How are you?
Great. Well, I'm doing good. I'm so glad I'm listening to you on my day. I'm laid off of work, so
Yay.
This is perfect.
All right, good. Good to hang out
so
with you.
Thank you. I just want to tell my little story. Maybe it'll affect a listener who might have a child in this kind of a situation. I grew up in domestic violence, and in my 20s, I got into drugs because of the anger, the bitterness, the hate, resentfulness I was feeling. The drugs was my release, my way to forget of everything. But I held a lot of hate towards my father. Mm-hmm. So I did a life of drugs of about good 14 years.
Wow.
While this was going on, my mom, who's very Catholic, had prayers being said for me without me knowing, of course, because I hated her too also. But I, you know, I got to the point where the drugs were dry. I then got to that point of being very suicidal. I couldn't live with the drugs. I couldn't live without it. And I remember I was in very much peril, and I think my mom knew this. She told me, and I fought this tooth and nail, go see a priest, go to confession. And I fought that tooth and nail. Finally, I decided to appease my mom. I went to confession. I went to Father Dan in Pleasanton, California at St. Augustine's. And I remember walking in this room, and I was going to tell this priest small stuff. Oh, I smoke, I swear, I argue with my parents, and I'm out of here. This is the turning point for me, is when Father Dan had asked me, I said all those little things, and he asked me, he goes, how's your relationship with your father?
Yeah.
And that is what blew me away. I said, I hate him. I can't stand him. I hate him. I want him dead. But in the same breath, I said, I love him. And I want to forgive him, but I don't know how. And everything came out of me. Everything about the drugs and my lifestyle, everything I did, I confessed it all right there. I never would have told a priest I was a drug seller. I sold drugs. I did drugs. I supplied drugs to people. Yeah. I would have never thought of saying that to a priest in fear of he would call the police, not knowing, you know, what I know the oath that they are tied to.
Yeah.
When I got home that night, there was a man that was walking in front of our, I lived in an apartment complex, and this man came up to me and he said, you know, I'd like to invite you to our church. And I went, yeah, I just came back from my church. And I literally was like, whoa, wait, I don't belong to a church.
Wow.
This is 13 years of drugs. I hadn't been to confession in 18. I was 33 years old when this happened.
at Easter. And wow. 23 years ago, this all happened at this very time. And I remember he gave me a card of his church, and I'm like, okay, thank you. And I walked in the door. When I flipped that card over, it said, Jesus loves you. I fell to the floor. I haven't seen those words maybe since I was a kid. So I knew I was forgiven. And then I have been on a path of forgiveness. Me and my dad are like, we're good. We're really good with each other. Do we have our moments? Of course. Mm-hmm. You know, but that confession is what did it for me. If I didn't go and release that hate, anger, and bitterness, I don't know if I'd be alive today.
It's such an important point. First of all, thank you. Thank you for calling, Terry, and what a great story you have. You got to write it down and share it. I love it. If you are deeply injured, take it to the Lord. If you've wounded somebody, take it to the Lord. You will meet Jesus Christ himself not just in the Blessed Sacrament, but in the Sacrament of Reconciliation. He told St. Faustina he's only hidden behind the priest. The priest is a screen. And there you will receive the deepest of healing. Those deep wounds that you have, turn to the Lord and receive them.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you for joining me. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful conversation. I'm so glad to be able just to spend a couple hours a day with you. If you enjoy this broadcast, set it to your radio or tell somebody else about it and... just pray. Pray for so many of those who you heard today and for so many who can't forgive. You know, a lot of people, I think, ruin their health and they ruin their lives by taking the poison of bitterness, you know, swallowing that bitter pill of resentment and unforgiveness. And believe me, it's easy. It's so easy to not want to forgive, to hold the resentment, to be bitter. Matthew 18, I think 23 tells us that, look, if we don't forgive people, what happens? Remember that scripture verse? You get turned over to the torturers, right? If you have a problem in that area or you ever have one, bear witness to what I'm saying. It is a torture, isn't it, to have hateful thoughts to somebody rolling around in your head? It's a torture. You're the one that's being tortured by unforgiveness. So who do you help most when you forgive? The person that hurt you? Yes, but actually I think you're helping yourself more. I think you help yourself more than the other person. So let me take a few more of your calls. We have a few minutes here. Thank you for your patience. I know a number of people have been waiting a long time to get in. We'll start in Burlington, New Jersey. Frank, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. I always love your shows.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really, it's weird because growing up, I was always very close to my family and my sisters and stuff. And we had a great family, good relationships. I don't want to get into great detail, but... Mm-hmm. My dad was much older and my sister had done something that I thought was, it almost kind of ruined him financially. And, I was really upset with that. And it really kind of destroyed our relationship. And my dad was always trying to get us back together again and stuff. And this went on not forever, but it was for about a good 7-8 months. And, the bitterness was really, really deep. And I was really praying for the Lord for his justice. You know, that's how I was going about it. I was like, Lord, manifest your justice here. I said, you know what was done was wrong, and there's got to be justice. And I know my dad kept telling me, he's like, no, that's not the way you pray. Anyway, I was in church, and, I teach the kids. And sure enough, of course, aren't we on the passage of forgiveness and in Matthew. And the Lord was basically saying, you know, your Father in heaven isn't going to forgive you if you don't forgive here on earth, you know, and I thought, man, now I'm thinking now this whole thing is attached to eternity, you know? And, but then I started having these, so then I started praying that the Lord would just change my heart. And I'm telling you, Drew, the most amazing thing, I started getting these dreams that I was at family get togethers with my sister again. And there was this really good feeling of like warmth and it was just, and I'd wake up and I'd say to my wife, I was like, sweetie, I said, I keep having this dream, you know, it's like every other night. Yeah. She's like, oh, that's just because you're thinking about it. You know, that's why I said, no, this seems so real. And then don't you know, my mother-in-law passed away My sister ends up, you know, kind of ordering like a dinner for us and saying that I loved her. And now, don't you know, we've now been getting together. And it really is like the dreams really came true. And I think that was only the Lord's grace, because I didn't have that in my heart. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah. Well, God hears those prayers.
To be put there by the Lord, you know?
I'm convinced that prayer, look, I am absolutely convinced that the Lord hears the prayer of conversion and that he wants unity. And I often share during the chaplet, Frank, you know, the Lord made that promise both to that prayer and the 3 o'clock hour, the hour hung on the cross. Anything you ask in virtue of me will be granted through that prayer, or when you meditate on his passion in that hour, if it's according to my will. And I know the Lord wants relationships healed. And I know you prayed for justice, and God is a God of justice. He's also a God of mercy. And I know that those prayers reach the throne of God. And I'm so happy that you're able to reunite that union, because, you know, there's nothing worse, I think, than that division when families are separated from one another. But you're a testimony to what happens when we don't see the fruit, right? When we don't feel it, when, you know, we pray for one thing. God knows us. I mean, we're children. God knows our heart. He knows everything about us. And when you pray, I am telling you, powerful things happen. Heaven stops. It comes to attention. You know, the supernatural takes place. When you pray, you know, take a look at what happened, right? The Red Sea parts. When you pray, miracles happen. You know, anything is possible with God when we pray. And when you pray for something like reconciliation or healing or conversion, I guarantee you things are put into motion that will bring that about. And Frank, I'm so happy. Keep praying for your sister. And you're a great example to so many others who have ruptures in friendships or in family. And, you know, just I often tell my wife the same thing. Just put it, give it to God. Let's just pray and let the Lord resolve it. Friend once said this to me too, just on a side note. Even family's a little bit different. And Dolly, if you're listening, I just want to say thank you for this. She told my wife one time, you know, sometimes friends come into your life for a reason, sometimes for a season, and sometimes for a lifetime. And I love that. Sometimes you have lifelong friends. Other times, God brings certain people in a certain time. Your family, though, that's a lifetime. Our next call today comes from Vince in Philadelphia. Vince, thank you for your patience, too. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Drew. I don't even know. I was telling your screener there, I said, I'm having a tough time forgiving myself. Yeah. And I almost feel like I've kind of the prodigal son, so to speak. I'm just kind of in a really depressed state of mind. And mainly it's because I almost feel like it's almost weird in the sense that, like, sometimes you end up betraying your value system without even realizing it. And I think that's one of the many insidious aspects of Satan there. But in my case, it's like, you know, I'm going to be 62 in a couple of weeks. And I'm still thinking of, you know, going back to my high school days. I was fortunate to attend a prestigious Jesuit high school here in Philadelphia. And it just bothers me that I cater to the so-called real world is basically what it comes down to. You know, because I was, for instance, like some of my favorite subjects in high school were Latin and things like that. In fact, I was tagged with the nickname Plinius Secundus, you know, because I really enjoyed Latin. But instead, it was like all of a sudden, well, you know, because the real world says, you know, you could name anything from, like, say, a college major or why you want to major in liberal arts, you know. But anyway, to make a long story short, I almost feel like I'm the person who took his one talent and buried it. And I feel like I've paid for it ever since. Well, and it's like, it's almost like I want the Lord to heal me and stuff like that, but I just feel like I don't know why I'm resisting, because I'm in such a state now where I my soul is so tormented. And just one more thing real quick, just to add some backdrop here. Sure. I'm the son of Italian immigrant parents, and my dad's been gone 7 years, and he passed away on Valentine's Day, of all things. But I was raised in such a loving home, even though it's like a tiny little row home in South Philly. Mm-hmm. I would always tell people, I said, my dad raised us, which gave us so many riches that it would make even people who live in gated communities envious. I mean, that's how much that's how privileged I thought. And after all these years, I'm thinking it just cuts me to the core that I'm just not at peace, you know, with the Lord.
Yeah, no, I get it. A couple things that I would do. If you need to, talk to somebody. You go to your priest or speak to somebody who you can really begin to work this out and find out what the root of it is. But, you know, so often we are the hardest on ourselves. And so I know so many people who have made the mistake of having an abortion. And maybe someone's listening now who's done something else. They've betrayed their spouse through infidelity, or they were involved in something that they should have been involved. And, you know, when we go to the sacrament, I know that you have, you know, you've received absolution. You received the mercy and the forgiveness of God. It's so hard to forgive ourselves. I mean, we are the hardest on ourselves. And you've got to do that. Just as we're called to forgive others, and I said it was an act of the will, you've got to do the same thing. You got to trust that God has forgiven you. And if he can do it, now you got to forgive yourself. Okay, you got to get out of your head, and you got to start moving forward. And you're a good man, I could tell. You know, when we fail to forgive, you know, we harm ourselves. You know, and you've got to let go and you got to release. That's when real healing comes in. I think sometimes, you know, we block healing in our life, not just physically, but emotionally and psychologically by unforgiveness, you know, by unforgiveness. So I just want you to know today, Vince, you're forgiven. All right. And don't beat yourself up. God's created you, as I said earlier, for a great mission in life. And start a new day. Let today be a new day for you. You know, be appreciative of this day. I often think about it. You know, no mistake is too big for God's mercy. None. The Lord told St. Faustina it is but a drop in the ocean of his mercy. That abortion, that crime you committed, that act of infidelity, that betrayal, whatever it might be, it's a drop. It's a drop in the ocean of God's mercy. You know who's in your head right now, Vince? This goes for a lot of people. It's the enemy, the great accuser, right? The great accuser, the evil one. He loves to make you feel that you are not worth anything, that you can't be forgiven. He loves us to live guilty. He loves us to live condemned. And believe me, he's going to remind you of every mistake you have ever made. That's right out of his playbook. He wants to keep you from becoming who God has created you to be. And I think people might think that their past sins would keep them from having, you know, a healthy relationship with God. You got to let go of the negative thought, because God never gets tired of welcoming a repentant sinner. He told St. Faustina again, you have the right before everyone else to his mercy. The greater the sinner, the greater the right that they have to his mercy. God's not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. So stop beating yourself up. Go into the arms of the Lord and make today a new day. All right, our next call up is, who's up next? Martha in Illinois. Martha, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for
calling. I'm calling because, thank you. I just, you know, we were getting ready to celebrate my son's communion, and in order to do that, we had to all go to, he had to do his reconciliation. So, in order to show them that, you know, it's easy to give a thing, you just said they asked all the parents who would do that to go up in front of them, you know, and show them. And it was all face to face with the priest at that time. So we all went up and did, you know, sat down with our priest, and I had something that I wanted to tell him, but I was so embarrassed by it. And I said, I want to tell this to you, but I just feel like I'm not going to be forgiven. I'm embarrassed by it. And I finally told him what it was, and he gave me absolution, and I felt like that God has forgiven me. And I can't tell you how much I was relieved, because I had this inside of me for years, and I just felt that, you know, here I'm trying to show my son about, you know, we're going there for his reconciliation. And I ended up having just a wonderful experience. And it just because I was trying to show him, you know, that it's due, you know, and it wasn't right. Easy for me, but it came it. Out that, you know, I can't tell you how much I feel better about it. Yeah. And I don't blame myself, and I don't know what to say. Good. I don't beat myself up like I used to.
Good for you.
I mean, reconciliation is a good thing, and I've been going back ever since, and I love it. I love going.
I love your testimony. It's so perfect as a follow-up to Vince, because Vince has got to do the same thing. And look, in that sacrament, we find healing. And what a beautiful testimony, because that's really, you know, it's really where the healing takes place. And I'm just so glad that you've been able to find that forgiveness and accept it as well. And I'm glad that you were able to share that with so many others. You know, again, I keep talking about Saint Faustina. I am in love with the Divine Mercy devotion, as you probably know, and I do love her as a saint. The Lord revealed in that devotion exactly what Martha's talking about here. When you approach a confessional, the Lord told Faustina, he says, know this. It's I myself who am waiting there for you. I'm only hidden by the priest, but I act in your soul. And that's what Martha experienced. She encountered the mercy of God. It's in the confessional that misery of the soul meets the mercy of God. There's no place like it. I mean, it's an unbelievable encounter. And the Lord said to her, he says, tell souls that from the font of my mercy, tell souls from the font of mercy, which is the sacrament there, that they can draw graces solely with one thing only, and that's the vessel of trust. If their trust is great, there's no limit to my generosity. And I just love that. Now, I'm not, you're not alone, Martha. My wife and I were in Lourdes, France a couple years ago, and I had perhaps one of the best confessions ever in my entire life. I met a priest in this confessional, and I swear it was Jesus. I know I had encountered him. And I remember confessing the same sin that I had confessed a while ago, and I know I'd been forgiven for it, but I brought it up again. And he said the same thing. He wanted me to know, look, it's over. It's in the past. Move on. You know, you are healed. And that's the case. When we enter that sacrament, it is Jesus Christ that we encounter. You know, he's only hidden by the priest. That's who you encounter. It's there that he told St. Faustina that the greatest miracles take place, and they are incessantly repeated. So if you've been away from confession, if you are struggling with forgiving somebody or forgiving yourself, that is where you begin. Avail yourself of that miracle. You don't need to go on pilgrimage to some shrine. You don't need to do anything extra. He told Faustina, just come to the feet of my representative and reveal your misery. And that's exactly what Martha did. And he says, then the miracle of divine mercy will be demonstrated. He said this one final thought on the sacrament of reconciliation, because it's one of my favorite aspects of what the Lord revealed to her about confession. And this is a great time to go, okay, to confession if you have not. He said, we're a soul like a decaying corpse, so that from a human standpoint, right, there would be absolutely no hope of restoration. Imagine exhuming some body from a grave and seeing how rotten and decayed it was, right? No hope of restoration. Everything seems lost. He says, it is not so with God. It's the miracle of divine mercy that restores the soul in full. Get to confession, please. Go to that fountain of God's mercy. Encounter Jesus. Experience the restoration and the renewal that Martha had encountered there. I'm telling you what, it is life-changing. Jake, do I have time for another call, or we're out of time? My deepest apologies to anybody who's been holding. I really am sorry. I'm out of time for the day, but I'll be back again tomorrow. Please pray for me and this mission that God has put before me. I value your prayers, and I need them. I do. I will pray for you, too. I promise you that. I'll pray for you tonight. I'll pray for you tomorrow in the time I spend with our Lord, and we'll be together again in about 21 hours. So I look forward to that exchange, because you're my spiritual family. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. And do me a favor too. Please tell others about the broadcast. If you want to, you can always write to me at drew@relevantradio.com. You know, until our paths again cross, remember how much God loves you, that you were created in his image. He's forgiven you. Turn to him. Accept his mercy, okay? Get to that sacrament of reconciliation and forgive those who have trespassed against you. Till tomorrow, remember God loves you, and so do I. Have a great day.